إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، وإذ قال إبراهيم ربي أرني كيف تحيي الموتى قال أولم تؤمن قال بلى ولكن ليطمئن قلبي. My brothers and sisters, we are talking about building a relationship with the Quran al-Kareem. And I recited for you the ayat relating to one of the incidents in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, because we are looking at the lives of the Anbiya alayhi salam and lives and histories of the people of the past that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran to show us the effect of both obeying him and disobeying him. And these ayat which I recited for you, which of course all of us are familiar with, they illustrate two major features of the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam and the life of his family, of his wife Hajar alayhi salam and his son Ismail alayhi salam. In my reading and understanding, there are two major features of the life of these people, of this whole family of Ibrahim alayhi salam. One is ta'alluq ma'a Allah, and the other one is tawakkul ala Allah. These are two major features, and obviously they are both related, because you can't have tawakkul unless you have ta'alluq. So therefore, these are the two things which are reflected in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. This incident that is referred to in these ayat is from the almost one can say the childhood of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was they say he must have been about maybe 13, 14 or something like this, and he is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu kayfa tuhyi al-mauta, how do you bring the dead to life. Now the thing to reflect on is this, that what is the focus, what is the priority in the life of this young boy, beginning his teens? What is the focus in our lives today? What is the focus in the lives of our youth today? What is the average teenager, what is in his or her mind? What is the focus, what is the most important thing in their mind? I'm not saying that connection with Allah is not there, but I don't know for how many of them connection with Allah is the primary matter in their mind, primary focus. Now this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us, that here was Ibrahim alayhi salam, and this is before he became, you know, a Nabi, where even at that age, his focus is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His focus is the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is the feature of the winners of this life and the next. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of you among the winners of this life and the next, inshallah. Now if you look at this ayat, these are the ayat in my view which we look at tawakkul tomorrow, inshallah, but which reflect ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See the relationship that Ibrahim alayhi salam has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is asking a question, right? For example, he is not praising and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying, he is asking a simple question. So first thing about this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that this is such a natural relationship, it is such an informal relationship. It is for him an everyday thing, it's an every minute thing, it's a life thing which is continuous with him. It is not that he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only when he goes inside a masjid. It is not that he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only at a specific time of the day or several specific times of the day. It is not that he thinks of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only when he is in trouble. Only when the 10th class exams are coming or something. He is talking and thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu continuously as a routine thing in his life. So when he has this question, he's asking the question to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying, Ya Allah, how does this happen? How do you bring the dead to life? And see the reaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. The reaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also is so informal. قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ. How personal is that reaction? He says, how do you bring the dead to life? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tell him, this is how I do it. Allah is saying, you don't believe? Why are you asking me, you don't believe? And then see his response. قَالَ بَلَى. No, no, of course I believe. Why not? وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. But for the itminan of my qalb. Show me so I can glorify. Show me so I can delight. I believe. But if I see, it will give me even more peace of mind. It will give me, not that I doubt, but makes me even happier. Now, this is the issue of ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us in this example that here is a way in which you can connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what we should do on a daily basis, on a minute by minute basis, life as it goes on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put any conditions on talking to Him. Formal worship, there are conditions, right? For salah, you have to have wudu, and there is a basic dress code, and there is a, you know, basic conditions of purity, of place, and so on. You want to give zakat, there are conditions. All the ibadat. You want to make umrah, hajj, there are conditions, there are things that you have to fulfill. Fasting, there are conditions. But to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is really the essence of dua. I mean, what is dua? And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Dua mukhul ibadah." He said, dua is the essence of ibadah. It's the brain of ibadah. All ibadah is for what? To build a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whole concept, why do you pray? Why do we do salah? To build a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what did he say about salah? I mean, about ihsan, which he said, which is in the hadith Jibril, which refers to, he used salah as an example. He says, pray as if you see Allah. So what does it mean? Connection with Allah to the extent where literally you are looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalla. And though you don't look at Him, know that He is looking at you. So there is a connection where I am thinking of somebody. There is a connection where maybe I am talking to somebody on the phone where that person is not in front of me. And there is a connection where I am sitting and talking to somebody face to face. All of these are connections. I mean, you can't say that if I am talking to someone on the phone, I am disconnected. I am not disconnected. I am connected. But there is a world of difference between sitting in front or standing in front of someone, talking to them face to face, or talking to them through some device. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this example of salah. What is salah? Salah is to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right there and there. He is in front of you. You are looking at Him. So the purpose of all ibadah is to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the reason why dua, which is the connecting with Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put no conditions on dua at all. Allah did not put any conditions on talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any state. And as I say all the time, this makes eminent sense, because if I am in trouble and I need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right then, I don't have time to go make wudu or ghusl or this or that. I need now. So I say, Ya Allah, wherever I am, I mean, I may be in some big mess, may Allah protect us from all of that. But I'm just saying that I may be in a situation where there is no, you know, I need Allah right now. Ya Allah. And that is the issue. The issue is, do we have this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu where we can talk to Him like this? And the story of the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and inshallah we'll look at more, because his life is in the Quran, is Allah mentioned him so many times. But keeping this one in mind, he's asking this question. So then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? We know the whole story. Allah mentioned in the ayat later on. So now he asked a question, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's response is so you know, affectionate and so immediate and so informal. He said, don't you believe? No, of course I believe. But for my qalb, for me, to give me this strength. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, now go find 4 birds, tame them. Now think about this. I'm saying, that's why I say we need to reflect on the Quran. How do you find 4 birds? Try catching a wild bird, you know, adult wild bird. You can't do it. So for taming 4 birds is what? Getting fledglings from the nests. So go look for 4 different nests, 4 different kinds of birds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named 4 different kinds of birds. It's not 4 chickens, no. So 4 different kinds of birds. Small chicks, fledglings, raise them. Because only when you raise those fledglings do they imprint on you. And they think that you are their, you know, mother or something. So they'll follow you around and they'll do all that. So once they have imprinted on you and they have grown, they are ready to fly. So you got to teach them to fly, because birds have to be taught to fly. They don't just fly like that. So you raise them, you teach them to fly, whatnot. All the time it takes, a minimum few months. Depending on how you find those birds and whatnot. So minimum few months. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them what? Then he says, slaughter them, mix it all up, chop it all up. Always Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to show off. He can't, he could have said, here's a chicken, dead chicken, live chicken, khalas. So this is how I make it. No, what's the fun in that? So complicate the thing to the extent where now your mind is blown. You can't say, this is sort of, you know, 4 bird khima or something. I mean, what? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now separate into 4 parts. So now you separate this mincemeat into 4 parts. You've got parts of all the 4 birds in each of these. Which means that if you take that one part, maybe it has one leg and of one bird and, you know, the head of another bird and God knows what, right? So it's not complete in any way. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that even that's not enough. Now take, separate into 4 things, then find, climb one mountain and put one of this piece of this mixture on one mountain, then come down, go and find another mountain, climb on top of that, put it there, then go find a 3rd mountain, go find a 4th mountain, and once you have put it all those 4 mountains, go stand in the center and call them and they will come to you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you want this itminan il qalb, and you want your mind to be blown by my majesty and greatness. Now here it is. Now figure that one out. Now figure that one out. How did you do this? This is the joy of the Quran al-Kareem. And this is how you build a relationship with the Quran al-Kareem. And that's why the whole issue of tawakkul comes out of this. As I said, one each day, inshallah, so this is enough for today. This is ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so what must we do? Learn to talk to Allah. Learn to talk to Allah. Ask Allah whatever you like. Allah said, udhuni. He didn't say what. He said, ask me. What shall I ask you? Anything. Whatever. Whatever. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And especially therefore, for the mutakifeen, you are in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls to give, Allah does not call to take. And obviously it is the right of the guest, it's the right of the guest to ask the host. And it is the honor of the host to give the guest what he wants. So ask Allah and take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you go from here. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for yourself, for your families, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the ability to ask and to give you what you ask and then to add to that from his generosity and grace. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.